never stop pursuing me. Don't wait for inspiration. Me existing is your inspiration. The purpose of the breath inside your life is me. And so keep me at the center. Keep living for me. Keep breathing for me. Keep talking to me. As you do so, all the rest of these things will come to you. King David taught his men who did not have Ruach how they were to act. And look what happened with them. So will I do mighty works through all of you if you keep moving for me. Amen. Okay, so tonight I'm going to do a sharing on Josiah and Daniel. Very similar, call them youths, the two youths who put their foot down. And in English, we'll say over my dead body.
Yeah,
not me. And when they did it, what we don't get to see is in the scriptures, is when they did it, the world probably hated them. When Josiah did what he did, everybody would have been, they're probably vomiting. And they're going to say, oh no, Josiah's, the church fathers did this, the church fathers did this. It's interesting, people, even during Alfred Edersheim's time, he said, what you have to understand when you're reading the Gospels, when Christ quotes the law doesn't trump everything with the Jews then. It was the oral traditions of Aaron. And Edersheim, he's giving an explanation. He goes, at the time of Jesus Christ, the Jews, and this is what Edersheim said, Edersheim or Josephus, I think it was Edersheim, he said that if there was a conflict between the written law and the oral traditions that Aaron handed down, it's the oral traditions. So even when he's saying it is written to these Jews, they're like, who cares? This is what we have. And then and I thought, how ironic, not ironic. Their traditions come down from the one who made the calves. I mean, couldn't they got somebody better than Aaron that caved them? But the point, so lessons with Daniel and Josiah, if somebody can go quickly to Romans chapter 9, verse 13. Everybody doesn't have to go there, but it'd be good if somebody read it. And it's something that this group is used to, but if anybody's listening to this, what we need to show and teach people, if somebody would read chapter 9, verse 13 of Romans.
Even as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated.
Does that sound like Jesus Christ or Yahweh today in the churches?
No.
No. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ and Yahweh are a new age. It doesn't matter what you do, you don't do. They love. And Yahweh says, actually, if you said, Jesus Christ does whatever his Father says, right? I do only what he says. There are things he hates. Think about a Muslim. Think about bringing a homosexual or transvestite into their mosque. How would the Muslims ask? They hate it. We should hate what our Father hates. We should love what our Father loves. The problem we have is something with Psalms 103:8. This is not going to be the teaching, but if anybody can turn there quickly, it's a good reference point. Of things that we have to show people.
Right?
Yeah, 103:8. That's page 582 in the Rotherham.
Compassionate and gracious is Yahweh, slow to anger and abundance in love and kindness.
The dad pointed this out. So the Greek is the substitute that we have. It's all we got with things written in the New Covenant. That's all we got. But we know it's flawed. If somebody was teaching the constitutional law in Swahili. No, you should teach constitutional law, the United States Constitution, in English. It's written in English. Well, they don't speak English, and all we have is a translation. You got something flawed. You have to understand it. You have to reconcile it to the Hebrew. It says the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering, and what the real word is slow to anger. This Elohim that we have, he gets hot. I didn't think that. We were raised with CES. They would call it the idiom of permission. He doesn't kill anybody. He doesn't do this. And it wasn't really explained until later on. My father, when he really started researching, we're going to go, yeah, he does kill.
Yeah.
He does get angry. And he does smite people. And he smashes them. But how important is it for us to know and to teach He is slow to anger. Now, in this room, my father was, or Israel, both these guys, they're easygoing guys. Kids crawling all over them, they'll do anything for their kids. But every once in a while, somebody comes home and they did something stupid and they go, "Don't talk to your dad right now." Both their eyes go black. Yep. And they get really angry. You can see, and you go, this is not the time to talk to him. Your father did everything for you. But there are times, now is not the time, right? And you would learn, because if you, it doesn't matter what you do, he is angry. Now here's Yahweh, at times, he is about ready to pop. And we got to tell people that. Why is this so important? Well, because the church fathers, 1,000 years ago, started a trinity. The first and great commandment, what is the first? I am Yahweh thy God. You shall not have any other gods. It's the first and great. They throw it out, and they got three gods. And what do they teach? We've been doing it for 1,000 years. It's got to be okay.
Yeah.
And what we're going to do is we're going to look at Daniel and Josiah, specifically Josiah. Really, the teaching could be Daniel, focusing on the beginning of Daniel. And we're not going to actually read a lot of Daniel. What I want to do is paint a context before you read Daniel. Some things that Yahweh put on my heart. But to go, there's a chance. And the same thing with all of us. Yahweh is perfect. But we should approach him like there's a chance that we're really pissing him off. Is there anything going on? If he says no, great. But how do you know if you're pissing him off? A husband and a wife. If you knowingly break the covenant, you know what? You know this pisses me off. You did it anyways. No, I'm not talking about it, right? That's the same thing with the word. With the word, here it is. You don't know the word? And the great thing with this for the teaching, you guys are all there. But Toby Mack did it when his son died. He says it's about relationships. Our covenant relationship, or the purpose of our life is a relationship with Yahweh in Christ, through Christ. And he said, a relationship is only as good as what the people do, how they talk, how they receive it. And he said, reading Yahweh's word is him talking to you. And if you're not reading his word, you're not listening. And all of us have been in a relationship with a person, blah, 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 blah. You don't get to say anything. And you're like, no, we're not friends. You know nothing about me. You do all the talking. But Toby Mack was saying that when we intercede and we pray, that's us talking to him. And when he was showing that, I was like, how important is it for us to submerse ourselves in the scriptures just to say, speak, for your servant is listening. And sometimes I do that and I don't hear anything. That's a good time to go to the scriptures. I'm just going to read your word for an hour.
Yeah.
And you know, he's probably like, finally, somebody wants to hear me speak. But there, for us to paint pictures to say, you think you're getting away with something. You're not.
Yeah.
He's a God that gets angry. And do you know what happens when he gets angry? People get popped. And things can happen. If we're going to turn to Daniel, and then we're going to go to Jeremiah, then we're going to go back to Daniel, then we're going to go 1st and 2nd Chronicles, so Daniel's page. But the important thing before we go to Daniel is the time period. So, what do we know about the prophet Daniel?
He was in captivity.
He's sold into captivity. He's living during a transition. Why is he sold into captivity? What did he do wrong?
Nothing.
Israel sinned.
The fathers. Our fathers. Our fathers. Our fathers. And we never know if we're the last generation before Yahweh says, that's it. Enough. Enough with your trinity. Enough with your sodomy in the church. And he comes down. And he has every right to judge. And here's Daniel. Imagine. Daniel put... Who's in charge of Daniel?
The king.
The chief of the...
Eunuchs.
Eunuchs. So what is Daniel most likely?
A eunuch.
A eunuch.
Of course.
Can you imagine being a 14-year-old boy and they cut your testicles off? Man. Yeah. Is that like getting a tattoo? And here's Daniel gets his testicles cut off. When, we don't know. It didn't specifically say it, but it looks like it's implied. He's never married either. Why? Because them. And here he is, Where is Babylon? Where is Nebuchadnezzar? Anybody know the country?
Babylon.
Which is today?
Persia.
Persia.
No, what? Iraq.
Iraq.
Iraq. So Persia is Iran.
Oh, yeah.
Iraq, you have Arabs, which is Iraq. Iran is Persians. But how did Daniel get to Iraq? I don't think he got on a high-speed train.
No,
so you can imagine you're walking. And why are we walking? You can hear people crying and they're moaning. Why? Does anybody... Now what we're also going to do, we're going to take a look at... So we're kind of trying to paint a picture. And here's Daniel possibly reflecting. Every once in a while, we got to suffer. We see somebody die, or they go through a hard time, and we're affected. Did we do anything wrong? Sometimes we got to go, was I checking in? Was I out of fellowship? And if you go back and go, no, I was checking in. I wasn't out of fellowship. Well, thank you. Golly, I hope I didn't miss it. But here's in Daniel's time, we know, we'll turn to Jeremiah chapter 24. Excuse me. Are you guys in Daniel?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, read the beginning, Daniel 2.
Chapter 2 or
what? Chapter 2, Daniel. Okay. And we're going to flip back to Jeremiah, but you have to read the beginning of chapter 2 to get a time reference for like a timetable. So if somebody would read just the beginning, I'll do it. Chapter 2, verse 1, Daniel. In the second year of the reign of who? Nebuchadnezzar. What year? 2. What year is he... Okay, so when all, chapter 2 happens, that's after him getting carried away. So it looks like it's implied that Daniel 1 is the first year of King Nebuchadnezzar. And you can also see that it's very similar also with Queen Esther, with King Ahasuerus the Persian. He's a new king. So here's a new king getting things established. Now, as long as we're here, we're going to keep a finger here because we're going to come back. But at chapter 1, most likely the first year, or before the second year at least, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Jerusalem, and he laid siege against it, and Adonai, as you see the footnote, gave into his hand Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and part of the vessels of the household of God, and he brought them into the land of Shinar, into the house of his gods, and the vessels brought he into the treasure. What king? Jehoiachin. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 25. We're coming right back to this page. We turn to Jeremiah 25. That's page 742.
25, chapter?
25.
Verse?
Un momento.
Jeremiah what?
Chapter 25. Now, does anybody here know what kings Jeremiah was a prophet through? There's three.
Yeah, Josiah began with. Jehoiachin. And you got Zedekiah.
Zedekiah is the last. So I think Z is the last. So how many gods, or excuse me, how many kings? Starts with Josiah. Hint, hint, hint. He's a young king. He's a boy king. He revolts against religion when he's about 27, I think. Who's alive? Jeremiah's alive. Jeremiah's a prophet during Josiah's reign. So what point? Don't necessarily know. We don't know if Jeremiah was prophesying and nobody's listening to him, and maybe that was a part of it. I don't know. But then we have Jehoiachin, and Jehoiachin is in the third year of Jehoiachin. What happens to Daniel? He's carried away. Right? So Daniel's carried away. It would look like that Daniel would have heard Jeremiah. It didn't say that, but chapter 25, and we're going to, if you just read chapter 25, it's going to say, verse 1, chapter 25, verse 1, the word which came upon Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Joash, so that's 1 year after the son of Joash, king of Judah, the same was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, which Jeremiah the prophet spake concerning all the people of Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, even unto this day, the which is the 23rd year, hath the word of Yahweh come upon me, and hath spoken unto you, betimes speaking, yet have you not hearkened. And Yahweh sent unto you all the servants of the prophets, betimes sending through ye, hearken not, neither incline you your ear to hear, saying, return, I pray you, every one from his wicked ways and from his wickedness of your doing. So shall ye remain on the soil which Yahweh hath given to you and to your fathers, even from age to age. But do not go after other gods to serve them, to bow down to them. So shall you not provoke me to anger with the works of your hands, and I will not bring calamity unto you. Howbeit, a calamity is evil. I will not bring evil unto you. Howbeit, ye hearken not unto me, declareth Yahweh, that he might provoke me to
anger,
and the work of your hands unto your own hurt. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh host, because ye have not heard my words, behold me sending and fetching all the families of the north, declareth Yahweh, and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, I will bring them in the land. Let's just imagine Daniel possibly getting to hear this.
Yeah.
Did you hear what Jeremiah said? Mm-hmm. Who listens to Jeremiah?
Not many.
Not many people. He's the weeping prophet. Zedekiah, and here's his life. It goes through Josiah, and here's Jehoiakim. And there's a good chance that Daniel is on his way to Iraq, rethinking what this. When I was a teenager, my parents couldn't see all the things I did, so I thought I got away with some stuff. And you think you're getting away with it until one or two bad things happen. All of a sudden, you're reaping what you've sown, and you know it's coming. It's coming, right? We all kind of had it, but here we could have been with Daniel going. We're being carried away because our fathers. I'm being sold into slavery because our church, our fathers believed the church fathers instead of Yahweh's word. And here this is painting. And this is important why I keep painting this, because he's going to put his foot down.
Yeah.
And when Daniel puts his foot down, it's not to be popular. The guy who's over him is going to say, I'm going to die if you do what you say. And Daniel's going to say, here's what we're going to do. I'm not going to defile myself. Mm-hmm. I had somebody I was ministering to, and it turns out that they're fornicating. Fornicating. Of all the sins outside the body, you're a believer and you're fornicating. I'm not having sex. Are you touching them like a wife? Absolute silence. That's fornication. Sexual immorality. Don't touch a woman like a wife. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 1. And I went into him. I said, is she a Christian? Yes. Then you are non-consensually sexually touching Jesus Christ. Can you imagine doing that to Christ's body? And he was in you. And can you imagine somebody forcing themselves, making you touch them? And the person's like this. He's like, hey, you're getting a little out of control with some of this. And then the words came out, Esau, I hated. He's a fornicator. It says that. Did you guys know that?
No, I didn't know.
Yeah. You see, Esau, the fornicator, Yahweh comes in, and he didn't repent. And then he goes on, although he cried. He would cry. Esau cried, and he cried, and he cried, but he never repented. And those things came out. Esau, I hated the fornicator. Going to go. And the person to me is like, you are a jerk. And I'm like, you're not thinking about the way you look to your creator, mm-hmm. the one you say who's feeding you. How are you looking with him? And on my own life also, there was times when I was getting away with something. I think, hey, it's fine. And then every once in a while, then somebody shows you a scripture. You're like, I got to repent. Now, with Josiah, what I was thinking about with Daniel, with Jeremiah starting with Josiah, if you turn to 2 Kings chapter 22, that's 406, 2 Kings 22. And so as I was talking, this person who proclaims himself to be an ambassador of Christ, And I, when the words were coming out, it was not through thought. I wasn't thinking. I'm venting. And have you ever? Can you imagine President Trump when they raided Mar-a-Lago?
Mm.
How do you think his blood pressure was? And there's every once in a while there's a time where the servants of President Trump, they're going to vent even harder for Trump so he doesn't have to. How dare you? Maybe it's going to be his attorneys. But this is where the prophets are going to come in. But here's Moses going. And here Moses comes down. He comes so hard on Israel. He's a mediator. He's actually buffering. Yahweh's, you know, giving people a chance. And in this person, the teaching wasn't about this person. This is just coming out. But in this person, I said, and there's a pause. Not a pause of repentance. It's a pause of the person is caught. Now it's going to happen. I said, you need to repent. Can you imagine doing what you did, and I don't know what they did, in front of that person's father? What would you do if somebody did that in front of your father? You're going to go, and the father of that woman watched everything you did while you said you loved him. Ouch! Kind of painting a picture. So that person's kind of on notice. But a warning. Don't be worried about me. What you need to be worrying about is reaping what you sow. And somebody who loves you tells you the truth and say, you will reap what you sow unless you repent. Do you want to reap what you sow? Then you have to repent. Christ said it through the Gospels. He calls the blind leading the blind. You want an example of the blind leading the blind? You'd say, Jesus is God. What's the name of the Son? Jesus. What's the name of the Father? We just had this yesterday. Jesus. The name of the Father is Jesus. The name of the Son is Jesus. And it's all in one. Oh, yeah. That's the blind leading the blind. Death is a portal to heaven. Is the blind leading the blind? Just kill babies then. No, you can't do that. But any reasonable person's going, what are you teaching? The doctrines, but 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 11. Sorry, going off on a chasing rabbits.
22, I'm sorry, what?
11.
So, King Josiah, how old is he when he starts? You just look at 22, verse 1. Anybody?
8.
He's 8. And you see, when Manasseh, his grandfather, starts, how old was he?
I think he was 12.
He's 12. And it says when Manasseh starts, he's the wickedest king ever. Why? His advisors are telling... He's a 12-year-old doesn't know what's going on. He's got advisors telling him what to do. So he's doing what his advisors do. And this is going to be like a Christian church, too. This is what we've always done here. You're doing it. And here's Josiah. And Yahweh's going to start off. Yahweh's looking upon his heart. He's 8 years old. But eventually, they're going to find the book of the law in verse 8. And it's interesting. E.W. Bullinger, in verse 8... Then said Hilkiah the high priest unto Shaphan the scribe. E.W. Bullinger says Hilkiah the high priest is Jeremiah's father. If you look, there's a footnote. And when you read, if you go to the book of Jeremiah, and it talks about who his father is, E.W. Bullinger goes, his father's name is Hilkiah. This is the high priest who found the book of the law. And it's going to say the book of the law in verse 8. I think it's E.W. Bullinger also is going to say this is the original article. All the rest of the books are gone. You can't have the books out here. And so they found this book, which would have been the original, I think they call it the autograph of Moses. And they find it, they start reading it, and they probably start reading Deuteronomy 27, 28.
Yeah.
The curses. But what happens in verse 11? Shaphan... And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. He rips his clothes, and here's this. Why did he rip his clothes? Because he realized that he was offending the God that he said he was serving. And you can imagine possibly Daniel as he's walking to Iraq, remembering what happened with Josiah. And Josiah, when he reads the words, why is Josiah where he is? It's what he inherited. Mm-hmm. It's what people taught him. But now there's a point. Now there's a line drawn in the sand. What are you going to do? And so, and what does he do? He rips his clothes and he goes, go find a prophet to go inquire of Yahweh. We got to find out what's happening. Boss, relax. Relax, Josiah. Come on, relax. We've been doing this for 500 years. We've been doing this since King Solomon. We got Solomon's idols. They're not Solomon's idols. King Solomon was Yahweh's anointed. Relax, relax. Just, this is what we've been doing. What does he do? He goes to the prophet. Anybody know what happens to the prophet? Well, when they go to the prophet, I guess we can read it.
Prophetess?
Prophetess, yeah. Thank you. We'll just read a verse. I didn't mean to go on here, but in verse 13. Yeah, this is really neat, because if it's true that Hilkiah is Jeremiah's father, he rents his clothes in verse 12, and King commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, son of Shaphan, and Achbor, son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Isaiah the king's servant, saying, go inquire of Yahweh for me, and for the people, and for all Judah concerning the words of this book, which hath been found, for great is the wrath of Yahweh, in that it hath fired up against us. Because why? Our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according to all that is written therein. So Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, and Achbor, and Shaphan, and Azariah, said unto Huldah, the prophetess, wife of Shallum, son of Tikva, son of Harhes, keeper of the vestments, she having her dwelling in Jerusalem in the new city. And they spake unto her, and she said unto them, thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, say ye unto the men who hath sent me unto you, thus saith Yahweh, behold me, about to bring evil upon this place. Imagine you're getting ready to go before a judge, and it turns out that he is raging. And here's the people that have been sinning and sinning and sinning. We don't know what generation Yahweh's going to pop with the Trinity. When is he going to judge people for idolatry? Are we going to get carried away? We're not. We'll be like Daniel. We'll be like the other ones. But anybody else going to go, well, to most people, when you teach the word, they go, well, this is going to go on forever. You don't know this God. And you think because you're getting away with it that you're going to be fine. And what happened with Josiah? Behold me about to bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof. All the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me and burnt incense to other gods. Incense to other gods. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Here's a song. What they're saying to another one. How about Ave Maria? Maria. Here's the Maria. And here's God the Holy Spirit and these other things. And he's listening. They're singing these things. And in his presence. Can you imagine offending a king? Yikes. Now offend the king publicly in front of all the servants. When Haman threw himself on the king, on the king's wife, what did King Ahasuerus say? Will he even do this to the wife while I'm in the house? Yeah. And what we got to do is help people and ourselves to go, everything we do is in front of everything. We're going to take a look at it. So where did I stop? 17? I forgot where I stopped. Verse 17, because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the workmanship of their hands, so that my wrath shall fire against this place and shall not be quenched. But unto the king of Judah, can you imagine? Here's Donald Trump. How much authority does this guy have? Not only is he in charge of the United States, Yahweh has anointed this guy. There's a favor that things are coming together. He is like a King Cyrus. And everybody that watches it looks at this guy. They go, this guy is anointed. He got shot in the ear. Everything's coming together. All this stuff. And you can imagine that he's about ready to pop. And then one person says, I repent. I'm so sorry. President Trump, I had no idea. I did not know that I was even a part. And they fall down in front of him crying and weeping. He's like, you know how refreshing that must be?
Yeah.
You, come up here. Come over here. You sit next to me. As for the rest of you, here comes a raid, but here's Yahweh goes, but in the king of Judah, who has sent you to inquire of Yahweh, thus shall ye say unto him, thus saith Yahweh Elohim of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because tender was thy heart, and thou didst humble thyself before Yahweh, when thou heardest what I have spoken against this place. It says in 2 Timothy 2:16, to study, to show yourself approved. That's the King James. The Royal terms are better. But we should constantly be going to the scriptures to see, am I offending him? Am I blessing him? Am I right? Am I wrong? It also says in Acts 17:11, it says, more noble were those in Berea than those in Thessalonica. Why?
Because they studied the word.
Why were they studying the word? Most likely the Apostle Paul saying, you guys are screwing up. You're doing this and you're doing that. Like, holy cow, this guy's very offensive. Who is this guy? His name is Paul. Oh yeah, how big is his church? And but you can imagine, he really offended all of us. And when we better be the same, but it should be when somebody is offending, we go, you guys got three gods. What should they be doing? Let's just go look at the scriptures. And we encourage them to say, go study the scriptures to see if these things are true. Because when Josiah looked at the scriptures, what happened? His heart, he goes, it's me. It is me. And what happened? He got the turn. And look what happened with Yahweh. And what's neat about Josiah is that who is his father? Only the most evil king of all Judah. 50 years he reigned, all kinds of child sacrifices. And what did he do? Why was he so evil? He gave the people whatever they wanted. Just give them what they want. It's most likely. That's why you have all these gods. He gave them what they wanted. And you can imagine Josiah thinking, what happened to his grandfather? When did his grandfather finally turn? When there's hooks in his nose, and he's being led away as an animal. Finally, he falls down. And he's ready. Yahweh, you are my God. And what happens? You can imagine Josiah, maybe he met his grandfather, I don't know. But you get to hear your grandfather. Your grandfather always was some of my most best clients right now. They're the kindest people ever. And I work for their daughter. And their daughter says, you know, they used to be alcoholics. And the daughter doesn't like our relationship. They used to drink this. Now you don't know them the way I know them. And I'm like, I don't care how you knew them. I mean, I know who they are now. You get to see this, but in this case, it could have been Josiah getting to hear what happened to his grandfather. Am I going to have to be carried away with a hook in my nose? Mm-hmm. And learning, and possibly Josiah going, am I going to do the same thing? Am I going to learn this the hard way? Well, Josiah, if you don't recant what you just said against the church, they're going to throw you out. I'd rather have them throw me out than to have the wrath of my Elohim, who I say I love, come down upon me. Throw me out!
Yeah.
Who did that? King David did. Mm-hmm. Saul gave the people what they wanted. He goes, you know the people. Here's the people. And what did he do? He got to keep the people. And look what happened. And David, when did he want to be the king? Whenever he could serve Yahweh. So the whole purpose of that. But now, we'll go back to Daniel. And so, in Daniel chapter 1, in Daniel's life, as I've been trying to paint a picture, it was he's suffering from the sins of other fathers. Here's the generations. Generation, here's the consequences. But in verse 5, and the king appointed them the provisions of each day upon its day, out of the delicacies of the king, and out of the wine which he drank, and so to let them grow 3 years, and at the end thereof, that they should stand before the king. Verse 8. What's the problem with the food? It's not kosher. And Yahweh says, if you don't obey my words, don't, you can imagine a husband or a wife. I knew a guy, I used to wait table, he was a manager. His wife was wonderful. And he was an adulterer. And he said all kinds of things. And you'd watch it. And I'm just 20 years old, and you're looking at this guy, going, man, what an evil person. And what is this relationship he has with his wife? And here's Daniel on the same, maybe when he's going to Babylon, to Iraq, well, Daniel, would you do the same thing as your fathers? I would never do the same thing as my fathers. Maybe. But when it gets to verse 8, but Daniel laid it upon his heart that he would not defile himself. He puts his foot down, he goes, it ends with me. Now, I've heard other people doing that with alcohol or with other things they inherited, sexual immorality through their family. They said, that sin dies with me. It's not going on again. But in this case, Daniel says, nope. The first thing he did, upon his heart, he made a commitment, I'm not doing it. Well, Daniel, you know what's going to happen? Do you know who Nebuchadnezzar is? Mom said that once, but... Off with their head! She's like, he says, if you don't do this, you're dead! We just watched Alice in Wonderland, Off of the Head. But you don't know this God or this king, and it could have been Daniel goes, no, I don't know him. He can kill me, but I'm going to be going before Yahweh one day. And he draws a line and says, he's not going to do it. Does that make Daniel popular?
No.
How about the rest of the Jews around him? Is Daniel doing peer pressure now? They're defiling themselves. He's not. The only person that's not getting drunk at a party or something like that, and everybody's like, you're making us really uncomfortable, man, with that Christian church here in the bar. Can you get that shirt over there? But turn to chapter 10 of Daniel, verse 11. And our 844. Whoops. And so, in verse 11, this messenger comes down, and most angels are messengers. They look just like men and women, or men, on one exception, when they're looking like women. And you don't even know they're messengers until they go up into a flame, or they disappear, or something happens. But there's a couple of occasions when the messengers show up. Everybody, they fall over like they're dead after Jesus Christ after the tomb. Remember that? When the angel comes down, rolls a stone away, and he sits on it, the men guarding feel like they're dead. How scared you got to be if you're a Roman centurion guarding and you play dead? I mean, that's scary. I mean, I don't know what I would do. And the same thing is happening here to Daniel. Daniel's like, oh my goodness. Verse 11, then said he unto me, O Daniel, man greatly delighted in. Daniel made a choice, and he continued to make a choice. Even if I die, I'm making my choice. This life, I'm just passing through. And he was able to do something like Josiah. And Josiah says, I'm not doing it. It ends with me. You're going to leave me because I'm being faithful? Leave. But I'm not going to do to Yahweh what you are threatening to do to me. And so Daniel, like Joseph, these two youths changed the world. And that's where we should be encouraging people. Study the scriptures to show yourself approved. And do I offend you? Well, yeah, how you say those things? Do the scriptures offend you? And if the scriptures start offending you, we should start looking at these things and to say, do you fear the wrath of your God? Because he does get angry. He does hate. And Josiah, when he rips his clothes, you go check in. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe you're going overboard. Yahweh goes, you almost got it too, son. Well, I was innocent, but you dodged a bullet, and because you dodged a bullet, I'm going to bless you. So, Father, we thank you for helping us keep our eyes focused on you. Thank you for the leaders that are in this room, for helping all of us run our race in a way in which to win. My sons and daughters know that this life will be over so soon. I tell you not the blank. I tell you it's a breath, it's a vapor, it's gone. And if you don't believe me, just look behind you. Where did the last 10 years go? gone. One day you will go before my Son. And I want all of you to be focused on this daily, to be purifying yourself as if you're going before court. And well, that's it. Amen.